Hello, and welcome to the Percussive Maintenance Podcast. In the HVAC engineering industry, new technologies are emerging very quickly. Business owners have to decide what works and what doesn't, and if and when to invest in such innovations. In this episode, Brian Venn shares how his firm is using drones, thermal energy, and more to stay ahead of the curve and his competitors. Hi, I'm Herb Warple, Editor-in-Chief of Engineered Systems, and today I'm honored to have Brian Venn with us. Brian, if you could please take a moment and introduce yourself to those who are tuning in.
Thanks, Herb. Appreciate the opportunity. So my name is Brian Venn. I've been with mechanical testing for 23 years. We are in the test and balance, building commissioning, and aerial LiDAR and scanning business. We do a lot with robotics. I'm a Part 107 pilot, so I can commercially fly the drones that we also sell and train folks on. And it's really a passion of mine to work and help create buildings that are energy efficient with today's energy and grid issues. We definitely have a responsibility to kind of pay it forward.
Awesome. Tell us a little bit more about Mechanical Testing Incorporated. What sectors do you work in and what types of buildings do you focus most on?
Sure. So we are in the commercial and industrial sector. We work with a lot of facilities, both for even is commercial office space, but also semiconductor, hospital, and healthcare is a big niche for us. And wherever really manufacturing goes, we find our clients pretty much bring us in to look at how their energy is being used, ways to get more life out of their building equipment that they've purchased, and also to help them with preventive maintenance plans.
Great, Brian, you've been a part of the Mechanical Testing Incorporated team for 23 plus years. What's changed in that time?
Technology. It's funny, I'm going to date myself and my daughters will probably say I sound old, but I started with a pager. So if I was on the roof, I would have to get the page and walk down the ladders and scaffolding and go out to the job trailer to make a phone call to see what the office needed. Now they're in my back pocket all the time. So technology is really at the forefront of what we do. We were one of the first companies to adopt a paperless reporting solution sometime around 2004, 2005, before all the digitalization came along, because I just saw all this paper that was being used and put on a shelf and been possibly just never looked at again. And I knew there was a better way. I could see through AutoCAD and some of the other construction tools that there was a lot coming, and being digital actually helped make us unique on bid day, where we were offering something our competitors weren't. Also, as we grew, we've got into robotics and UAVs and thermal imaging of building envelopes, not only for roof membrane performance, but analyzing whether windows and doors need to be replaced or a facade isn't insulated correctly. And now with facilities starting to have to report emissions, they have to document all the emissions that are coming out of any port or hole on the building. So thermal imaging is at the forefront of allowing us to do that quickly and safely without scaffolding and other time-consuming tasks that are very hazardous.
So you mentioned that the company has embraced technology, and a few examples you've already stated are drones and thermal imaging. How does this set you apart from your competitors, and how has this technology helped you exceed your goals?
Well, it really is a force multiplier when you can use a paperless system and have multiple technicians on a facility, possibly working under tight time is of the essence deadlines, and be able to collaborate on a project. And at the same time, have a test and balance engineer or commissioning authority in real time, looking at the work that the guys are doing, signing off on the reports, looking at the photos or videos that we're including, and making sure that the client can immediately, let's say, get that facility up and running so that they're actually billable for what they're either making or if it's a hospital suite, the surgeries that they want to start. So that really was a force multiplier to allow the collaboration of multiple guys on a large project. A second great example, I think, is the on the thermal side, where insurance companies are constantly involved with a possible bad or poor installation on construction. Roofing is a great example. And we were hired after months and months and months of going back and forth between the owner and the roofing company about the performance of the roof when it was clearly raining inside, when it was raining outside. They brought us in, we used thermal to really show them and pinpoint where they could find the wet insulation that was locked underneath the membrane from a prior leak, which allowed us to go right into the building, get some ladders out, climb up and show them where the leaks were that allowed them to then go forward with some insurance issues. But, you know, it really is identifying quickly things that the human eye can't see. Thermal is a totally new set of equipment that has been used for years, but not widely used. It's becoming affordable and smaller businesses can deploy it to help them better serve their clients.
Brian, how about drones? I know you mentioned you have the pilot's license. Can you share an example of how you've used drones on a recent project?
Yes. I mean, that one that I was just giving you an example of, the thermal camera was actually on a drone as we were doing the roof scan. But another thing that's really emerging is LIDAR technology and being able to have very, very precise measurements for, let's say, a renovation project for a facility that's going to hook up another 500,000 square feet of facility to an existing 1.5 million footprint, right? You want to know, has the building settled? Where's the piping connections going to come into the buildings if we're coming off a central campus plant? All of that really comes in and it will help the design team come up with a very more informed, data-driven design. If they have an accurate scan of what could be down to half of a millimeter plus or minus accuracy, depending on if we're using our terrestrial LIDAR, it really takes that cloud, that point cloud that we create, we can drop it right into a Revit model, which then can be built on by architects and engineers, and they can have assurance that what they're building on is accurate, right? They're not going to get out there and start to find contractors running into conflicts or pipes not lining up because it was done, the design was done off old existing drawings rather than a current digital representation of the asset.
Now, I know outside of your work with MTI, you're also a board member with the Associated Air Balance Council, or the AABC. Can you tell us a little bit more about that organization and its role in the industry?
Yeah, AABC, Mechanical Testing, is very proud to be a member. We are a member of all three main test and balance bodies because we're in different regions that call for it. But AABC is, in my opinion, the premier. They are the only one that has an absolute independent stance. I cannot purchase or sell equipment or install. I can't design the project and then balance the project. That is one of the biggest reasons. So AABC's independence is ultimately important to the owner getting an unbiased opinion of the design, installation, and performance of the equipment. And a lot of AABC members can take it a lot further with the total system balance method, which goes beyond traditional test and balances and is actually one of the most recognized and used by AABC companies.
Great. I know the COVID-19 pandemic has certainly changed the world. It's impacted all of our personal and professional lives. How has it impacted Mechanical Testing Incorporated's efforts?
It was a wild 2020. So we're primarily located in upstate New York. That's where our headquarters is, but we do many projects in many states. So it was difficult to understand and navigate which states' safety standards were being raised and which weren't. We were closed essentially for about 40 days, but yet upon being deemed essential employees, we really came out of it running and we had our best year ever, even being closed for over a month. So that's really a credit to our employees who did a great job both adhering to safety standards, in my opinion, being brave and going out there. So it was a full team effort to bring everybody through the pandemic and honestly to get everybody back to work. A great side silver lining to it was we did a lot of in-house training with AABC resources. And we did that in April when we had the downtime and we had one of our best summers ever because of it. And the training and the resources, that was the silver lining in being closed for that time. But it was amazing to have, you know, our 20 plus techs be able to all get the same type of education at the same time, ask questions, again, using technology to collaborate. I think that people are now used to Zoom and Google calls, and that's another good positive thing that's come from the pandemic. But it was a challenge to maintain safety and keep everybody working.
Yeah, I'm sure those 40 days felt like forever, but it could have been a heck of a lot worse, right?
It could have been. There's folks in a lot worse place, and you know what? We're very grateful for how we've come out of it.
So Brian, I know your experience lies heavily in the testing and balancing side of the industry. Can you provide just a quick industry update on TAB and are TAB services still in high demand?
They really are. I think now more than ever, because of the raise in awareness of indoor air quality, that buildings are just trying to stay open, right? Restaurants, retail, and how do they do that? And the answer to that's indoor air quality. So we've really been pushed to the forefront, test and balance has, because prior to this, you know, we were definitely always needed. A test and balance report is critical in getting a certificate of occupancy in almost any commercial or industrial building. But now more than ever, not just for the CO, but now for the actual safety of the occupants, it's more on everybody's radar, building owners' radars.
On that topic, you're scheduled to participate in a technical panel discussion in June titled, Is TAB Going Away? So without giving away the secret sauce or the answer right away, can you kind of hint at the answer to that question? Is TAB going away? And where can viewers find that presentation?
Yeah, so that's going to be done through AABC. It can be found at aabc.com. It's a wealth of webinars, really. Now they've adapted amazingly to this pandemic and not being able to get together and do education. And they're doing it through webinars. And one of those is coming up. The question is posed, is TAB going away? And in my opinion, TAB is not. Again, it's going to be more in demand. I think now with it being at the forefront, there may actually be an emphasis on new standards, not only for laboratory and manufacturing. Think about what we went through with the meatpacking plants at the beginning, right? And food safety, but also an emphasis just on public spaces and where, you know, how is your public library's ventilation or how is the town hall where they're having their meetings and elections and all this that's being held? All those buildings are going to need TAB. And honestly, I hope a really good maybe side effect of this is that also energy gets a little thought of a little bit more, because if you're bringing in more ventilation, it's going to be more expensive, right? It's very expensive to condition a CFM. So as we're bringing more ventilation in, we also need to be a little bit more responsible, and that's going to be a challenge for the engineers. And I just hope to be part of the solution. And if any help is needed, we welcome the questions and we'd love to give feedback.
Well, Brian, this has been great. I want to give you one last opportunity here. If you could leave one piece of advice for the consulting or specifying engineers or facility managers who are tuning into this, what would it be?
You know, the emphasis on data. I think that now more than ever, we're a data-driven society, and there's ways to use data to make better decisions about your building, about the air that's coming into it, about the energy that's going into that building, which hopefully, if run correctly, you can have a profitably run building, even in a pandemic. I think coming out of this trending of buildings and sensors, I think all of that industry is going to be on the rise, because people will want to know what's their CO2 levels, because that's a direct correlation to how much fresh air you have coming into your building. And it's a really simple solution, right? Low hanging fruit for a building owner. And that's a free giveaway for the secret sauce. You know, I really do think though that data, how it's captured, who's capturing it? Are they qualified? Do they have the correct certifications? Are they following the right procedures? That's what the world of engineers need to know. Are you getting a test and balance report or a commissioning report from a qualified source? Or is it just a traverse on someone's letterhead? Where's the value in that data, right? So gathering the data in a responsible manner will allow us to make better decisions. I think that's my message. And I think I just want to give a couple of plugs if I could. Check aabc.com out for all types of educational resources. Also ACG, which is the Associated Air Balance Council Commissioning Group, is another great resource. They have all kinds of social media and questions and webinars out there as well. And if you want to find us, please look us up at mechtest.com, M-E-C-H-T-E-S.com. And we really are an educator. We look to do a lot of lunch and learns and try to help the community build a more sustainable environment.
Brian, thank you so much for taking a few moments to share your expertise with us. We certainly appreciate it. Again, thanks for your time, and we look forward to catching up with you again sometime soon.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Brian Venn. And as he mentioned, if you're interested in connecting with Mechanical Testing Incorporated, visit www.mechtest.com. The Percussive Maintenance Podcast is now available on iTunes. Be sure to bookmark us on your preferred mobile listening device so that you can enjoy all of our past and future episodes. We appreciate your continued support. And remember, if you can't fix it with your brain, you can always rely on a Swift Kick. We'll see you next time.